The early sun was blinding, causing the old man crawling through the wild brush to blink repeatedly as he wiped his eyes with the back of his trembling right hand. He had reached the edge of the small promontory on top of the hill, the high ground, as they called it years ago. Years burned into his memory. The grassy point overlooked an elegant country estate in the Loire Valley. A flagstone terrace was no more than 300 meters below, with a brick path bordered by flowers leading to it. Gripped in the old man's left hand, the shoulder strap taut, was a powerful rifle, its sight calibrated for the precise distance. The weapon was ready to fire. Soon his target, a man older than himself, would appear in the telescopic crosshairs. The monster would be taking his morning stroll to the terrace, dressed in his flowing morning robe. His reward, his morning coffee, laced with the finest brandy. A reward he would never reach on this particular morning. Instead, he would die, collapsing among the flowers, an appropriate irony. The death of consummate evil among surrounding beauty. Jean-Pierre Jodel, 78 years of age and once a fierce provisional leader of the resistance, had waited 50 years to fulfill a promise, a commitment, he had made to himself and to his God. He had failed with the lawyers and in the sacrosanct court chambers. No, not failed. Instead, been insulted by them, scorned by all of them, and told to take his contemptible fantasies to a cell in a lunatic asylum where he belonged. The great General Montluc was a true hero of France, a close associate of Le Grand Charles André de Gaulle, that most illustrious of all soldier statesmen, who had kept in constant touch with Montluc throughout the war over the underground radio frequencies, despite the prospect of torture and a firing squad should Montluc be exposed. It was all merde. Montluc was a turncoat, a coward, and a traitor. He gave lip service to the arrogant de Gaulle, fed him insignificant intelligence, and lined his own pockets with Nazi gold and art objects worth millions. And then, in the aftermath, Le Grand Charles, in euphoric adulation, had pronounced Montluc un bel ami de guerre, a man to be honored. It was no less than a command for all France. Merde! How little de Gaulle knew! Montluc had ordered the execution of Jodel's wife and his first son, a child of 5. A second son, an infant of 6 months, was spared, perhaps by the warped rationality of the Wehrmacht officer who said, "He's not a Jew, maybe someone will find him." Someone did. A fellow resistance fighter, an actor from the Comédie Française. He found the screaming baby amid the rubble of the shattered house on the outskirts of Barbizon, where he had come for a secret meeting the following morning. The actor had brought the child home to his wife, a celebrated actress whom the Germans adored. Their affection not returned, for her performances were dictated, not offered voluntarily. And when the war ended, Jodel was a skeleton of his former self, physically unrecognizable and mentally beyond repair, and he knew it. 3 years in a concentration camp, piling the bodies of gassed Jews, gypsies, and undesirables, had reduced him to near idiocy, with neck ticks, erratic blinking, spasms of throated cries, and all that went with severe psychiatric damage.